Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to obey him if it hair lips the devil, and I hope it does. You remember the word we had about being laser focused for revival? The subject we're going to talk about today is we're going to laser focus on one part of it. And before I even, if I even mention the verse, if I just give you the reference without prefacing a little bit, some of you will turn off instantly because it's too familiar. You'll go, oh, gosh, good Lord, are we going back to that? I heard that in the earliest days after I got saved and spirit-filled. And that's old manna. Please, may I have the new manna now, you know. And what's happened to the body of Christ is that we have matured beyond certain things. That's the way we tend to look at it. And the truth of the matter is we've backslid from certain things. See, we've only had one visitor, if you'll allow me to use that word. We've only had one visitor from heaven to earth. There's only been one. He's the only one qualified to teach us. And even the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he's not teaching anything on his own. He has not come to become your Lord. He has come to bring us the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We only have one person to learn from. There's only one that's come from there to here to teach us how this works. We recently had the experience with our dear friend Johnny here. That is not the will of God. We know it's not the will of God. God's not going to change. The devil's not going to change. The word isn't going to change. Let's see now, who would that leave? But I'm telling you, the days of losing the ladies and the Johnnies to that kind of thing are rapidly coming to an end. We only have one person to teach us. How do you release that kind of power? How is that connection made? See, we are the most unique beings on the planet. Spirit born from heaven, if you'll allow me. I'm going to say it another realm. Spirit born from the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are not of this world. Yet we are here. And in this world, and we have a body from this world, and God gave us a mind that is able to function in both realms. It can be taught by our spirit, as our spirit is taught by the Holy Ghost. It can be renewed, the Bible says. Then, once that renewal process comes into manifestation, where our soul, our mental faculties, our emotions takes the proper role as servant, where it's not the judge making decisions anymore, but it's the servant obeying the judge who is our spirit. See, your spirit is the child of God. Alan was teaching on that again eloquently this morning. Your spirit is the real offspring of God. That's who you really are. You are from another realm, but we were not trained there. I'd kind of like it if somehow when you get saved for the next 3 years, you just lay on the floor because the Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. Okay. Somehow your flesh would just lay there for 3 years while your spirit goes to heaven, to heaven university, so you could graduate in the things of the kingdom of God. And then where there's no distractions from the world, there's no busyness, no wars to fight here. You just go there, you get trained, you come back. Wouldn't that be great? Trouble is that's never going to happen. Forget that. How it happens is since we can't go there to be trained, he sent the teacher from there to train us here. And he is the Holy Ghost. Some of the things that he teaches are really hard to understand. You know, even Peter said that about the writings of Paul. And here's Peter was trained by Jesus. What I mean is Jesus in the flesh, from Jesus' literal mouth to Peter's literal ear. Yet Paul, who never had that privilege, Paul never was trained in the flesh, you know what I mean by that, while Jesus was physically on earth. Yet Paul's training, if you'll allow me, in some ways became more advanced than Peter's. But Paul had the same teacher we have. He had the Holy Ghost. He said, no man taught it to me. Paul says it this way. He said, Jesus taught it to me. How did Jesus teach it to him? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He got it by revelation of the Holy Ghost. And sure, Jesus would appear to him in visions. I've had Jesus appear to me in visions. You keep praying in tongues, you're going to have him appear to you in visions too. But however he gets it to you, it is Jesus teaching us how to walk as he walked. And if Jesus says this is how you do it, then that's how you do it, no matter what meathead says. Alan coined meathead. He said, you know, your physical brain has a lot of meat in it. You know, if you put it in a jar, it's a lot of meat. That's why he calls it meathead. I think that's pretty good. I like that. I've been using earthhead. That'll work too. Now, what we're going to laser focus on today, and again, I pray to God you don't tune me out when I give you the verse. I pray to God because it's part of revival. I don't care. Jesus told us the truth about it. And this is the way it is, whether you like it, whether you don't like it. And it's part of our training and equipping to release the power of God on an unsuspecting world. Amen? Open up to Mark 11. Put a marker in Proverbs 18. Now, there are many things even in this passage. Usually we call this, this is the primary passages we look at for teaching faith. And it is. It should be. But I'm going to focus on just one aspect today. We are going to laser focus on one part of this teaching. All right, Mark 11. Now we're going to pick it up in verse 22. And there's the teacher in me will want to take 1,000 rabbit trails because there's so many good teachings here. Every word almost ignites. I have literally become what I used to wonder what in the world Dave was talking about. Do you know one time in the early days people used to steal Dave's Bible? In church. Yeah, they'd steal Dave's Bible. And I know they were hoping to find all these notes in the margins and everything, you know, all these revelations, man. I don't need to pray. I'll just steal Dave's Bible. And what they found, you know, I can just see them sneaking home with it and opening it up. And there's nothing at all written in there. All there is these little dots. Sometimes one dot, sometimes two dots. I used to wonder, what? I would see it. He'd sit close enough I could see, you know. I wouldn't admit to him, but I'm looking over. And I've wondered, what in the world those dots? And he would say things like, he says, over time, what's happened? He said, the scriptures themselves, the verses themselves, they are the notes that trigger the revelations that's stored on the inside of me. If you steal my Bible today, you're not going to find anything written in the margins. You will find a lot of dots. It's exactly what happens. And as I have to be really careful and like a horse with blinders on to stay focused on what he wants. Because almost in this passage here, almost every word triggers a revelation that I want to go, the teacher in me wants to expound on. But I will quit expounding and get laser focused right now. Okay, so hallelujah. Mark 11, starting in verse 22. Verse 12. Well, I want you. There may actually be somebody here who doesn't know what happened, just in case. I'll skip over a bunch of this. On the morrow, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came. If happily, that means perchance, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the times of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Now he spoke words. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now notice his disciples heard it. So this wasn't under his breath. He didn't think these thoughts. He spoke words. Very easy to understand, clear words with his mouth. What did he say? Let's say, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now come down to verse 20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I'm going ahead and finish it up so we'll have the context. Verse 23 is going to be our main focus today. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Well, you could just teach for 2 years out of this, out of these right here. I mean, just to mention forgiveness real quick. If you think you're going to walk with God very far and live a life of unforgiveness, you got another thing coming. The only reason you're going to heaven is the blood of Jesus. Who are you to be the judge? Now, that doesn't mean everybody, yet people mistake forgiveness for, some people think that if I forgive them, it means what they did wasn't really wrong. If it wasn't really wrong, you don't need to forgive them. I didn't get any amens at all. What do you think mercy is? Mercy is what you get when you deserve something else. See, isn't that right? Yes, they did it. Yes, they were wrong. Forgive them anyway. No. Well, he forgave you anyway. Okay, see what I mean? We could preach on that forever. And I'll just tell you right now, when he first started dealing with me in the early days about forgiving that couple, and I'm telling you, I searched my heart. I couldn't find anything in me that wanted to forgive them at all. It was like that man that says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. It's like, well, Lord, I want to walk with you, but I don't want to forgive them. Is there any help? And he says, well, would you be willing to forgive them if I could make you willing to forgive them? My engineering brain had to think about that one for a minute. I said, well, I'm not willing now. Let's see, if you could make me willing, well, then I guess I would be willing. So, yes, I'm willing to be made willing. I mean, that's how my brain works. It does, you know. I said, how in the world would that start, you know? And he just gave me a simple little instruction. He said, every time you think of them, just pray I bless them. Just simple little instruction. I didn't even want to do that. I remember the first time I did pray it. By the way, did you ever try not to think about somebody? I thought about them all the time, you know, trying not to think about them. He says, I want you to forgive them. You know, all right, Father, I pray that you bless them. And you know I don't mean it, because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. But every time I'd think of them, I'd just, okay, Father, I pray that you bless them. Okay, thought of them again. Pray that you bless them. Little by little, he turned my heart. Listen, you are able to forgive, because you are his child. Now, he may have to give you instructions on how to make that fully manifest, but if you'll listen to him, he will. We could preach a lot about Mark 24, believe you receive when you pray, and we have preached about that a lot. But the thing he wants to laser focus on today is verse 23. Now, let's look at this. See, and I know probably, let's see, I'll do it this way. I myself have stood over sick people's bed, and I have spoken the word of God, like, just stand there. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. I have given commands. In the name of the Lord, rise up and walk. In the name, you know. Sometimes you put Noah in there. I want you to Noah. that the price has already been paid. Rise up and walk, my brother. And they lay there, you know. See, we want to come to that place that when we speak in the name of the Lord, that when we speak, it releases the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wanting to co-labor with us. Now, you got to remember how the Holy Spirit operates. This goes all the way back to Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, which you don't have to turn there right now. But you know the story that the earth was void and without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And it says the Holy Spirit was hovering. And if you look it up in the Greek, it's like a brooding, almost like a hen over her eggs, you know, brooding over the face of the dark. Now, the Holy Spirit is God just as much as God the Father, God the Son. So when God the Father conceives, that's the thought, I want light. The Holy Spirit knows that at that same instant. He's God. And the Holy Spirit is there. He's the one hovering over the darkness. The Father wants light. And the Holy Spirit's there with all power to make light. But he's not doing anything, even though it's the Father's will. He's waiting on something. There's something that has to happen before his power is released. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for that spoken word. See, there's John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were created by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. No, not one single thing. He was waiting for that Word. Here's the Holy Spirit full of, you know, I don't know how do you, power, pulsating, light bringing, healing bringing power. Wow. He's there. But nothing is happening until he hears the spoken, not the thoughten, not the thoughten, but the spoken word of God. In our King James, it says, let there be light. But I like it better in the Hebrew. In Hebrew, what the Holy Spirit was waiting for, what he heard it said, light be, and light was. Glory to God. I want it healing be, and healing is. Get up and walk, and they get up and walk. I was watching a video this week again by Brother Summerall before he went to be with the Lord, talking where I got to hear him tell his own testimony about walking in and spending time with Smith Wigglesworth and those stories. And Smith would not take no for an answer when he spoke it. Remember that one dead person he went to? By the time he got there, they said, you got here too late. He's dead. Smith said, the Lord never sends me anywhere too late. Where have you laid him? They took him in there. There's the guy. What would you and I have done? Start, oh, Father, I pray condolences for the family, you know, and be. What's Smith do? He's a big guy. Gets the guy. I don't know if he had, I guess he had one, I don't know, bed clothes of some. Gets the guy, stands him up against the wall. A corpse. Stands him against the wall. Can you imagine other people in the room? I can't do that English accent. You're healed. Healed. That's how he said healed. You're healed. Live. Let's go with the guy, and the corpse falls on the floor. Now, I'm trying to picture where Gary would be right now. Say, what does Smith do? Gets the guy, stands him against the wall again. I said, live in Jesus' name. Let's go with the guy. Slump down on the floor. Third time. Gets him, picks him up. How many times would it have been? I don't know. The third time he puts him up against the wall. I said in the name, live. And the guy goes, breath comes into him. And the guy lives. That's who we are, people. Now that's who we are. That's the kind of people that we are. He didn't intend for there just to be a Smith and a John G. Lake and a Amy Semple McPherson and just a handful here and there. He intends for His whole body to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, for us to speak the Word in faith and see manifestations of the Holy Ghost. We are a peculiar people. We are heaven bought, heaven born, heaven assigned, Holy Ghost anointed to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Yes. That's who we are, but we got to be trained to start acting like who we are. Now, this is not a condemnation message. This is a training message. I want you to look at verse 23 now. You want to be that kind of person?
Yeah.
Look at verse 23 really close. Because there's only one kind of person this works for. Only one. According to Jesus. He says, verse 23, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this sickness, whosoever shall say unto this poverty, whosoever shall say unto whatever it is, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart." Now here it is. "But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass." He who? That person that believes that what he says happens. That person. He shall have whatsoever he saith. We live in a world that if you don't do something on purpose, you're going to naturally flow in a negative way. And especially when it comes to your tongue. I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. Proverbs 18:21. You're never going to change it, no matter how hard you try. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Your tongue will bring death. Your tongue will bring life. Jesus says here, you can move any mountain if you believe that the words you say shall come to pass. When Jesus spoke, I don't think he spoke a wishing and a hoping. I don't think he spoke flippantly. I think he spoke exactly the will of the Father. We could go to John 5:30, but we're not going to do it right now either. He says, "The things I don't speak of my own. What I hear, that's what I speak." When he spoke the will of the Father. When we speak, we're supposed to be speaking the mind of Christ. Now, this whole world, we are programmed. I'm telling you, I am 67 years young. You like that better? I like that. Yeah. Sue could tell you, over our 30 some odd years of being a Christian, I have done better at this and I've done worse at this. Speaking what I want to come to pass. If you get lackadaisical, pretty soon, you'll just start flowing with the world and saying really faith-building things like, "My back is killing me. I'm just so happy I could cry. I'm dying to see you." There's a word that I use. Now, this probably isn't Alan's. Maybe it is. He said there's a four-letter word if he stubs his toe or hits his elbow that he uses. He said it's not love. See, I know what mine is. Now, I'm going to preface it worse so I don't get run out of church. Paul said, this is a Bible word. He said, "All of my self-righteousness, I count it but dung." We don't use dung in today very much. I don't go, "Oh, dung," you know, when I hit my elbow. My word is crap, okay? All right. Sorry, it's crap. Now, I'm just picture with me for a minute. What if I was that person that everything I say comes to pass? When if I say it, it manifests. Oh, crap. And I have to step around that pile. Oh, crap. Then step around that pile. Every time I do that, I am training my own self to believe that what I say does not come to pass. It doesn't matter what I say. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just kidding. Well, hey, humor is fine. Dave's humor, thank God for Dave's humor. Tim said, the Holy Ghost told Tim one time, said that humor is like the enzymes that helps us digest the meat of the word. I thank God for Dave's humor. But there's a difference in that kind of humor that's really funny and, you know, and beneficial, to constantly saying things that reinforces on the inside of each one of us that it doesn't matter what I say. I always get lots of amens when I go to James 1:26. You're not going to like this one either. James 1, look at verse 26. I have to go through this again. I'm set. I'll go ahead and tell this. I'm not going to make this mistake again. In the early days when I was so sure that I had all my act together and that Sue was just way behind me, that was in a galaxy far away a long time ago, I'm telling you right now. But I heard Kenneth Copeland talk about doing this, so I thought, well, I'll just do that. So I made this little challenge with Sue. I said, look, I think we did it kind of like this. It's been a long time. I said, all right, we're going to bridle our tongue. See, the verse we're going to look at, I guess I better read the verse first. James 1:26, you're not going to like this. Don't rip it out of your Bible. If any man among you seems to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is what? Vain. Just look it up. Vain, it means useless, non-productive. If you don't learn to bridle your tongue. We had some horses when I was growing up. You put a bridle on that horse's tongue to make it obey you. That's why you do it. You put a bridle on the tongue. The tongue's not free to do anything that it wants. There is a bridle on it. Okay? And he says, we have to bridle our tongue. Well, I heard a message like that all those years ago, and so I made this little challenge to Sue. I thought, boy, I'll straighten this woman up. Because I'm such a hot rod in those days, you know, I'm such a hot rod. Hey, I'll tell you what, every time that you hear me say something that you know is not correct, you can just say, I agree with you, it'll come to pass exactly like you said it. And I'll do the same thing with you. And I thought, this will show that woman. Well, I'm telling on myself. That was the worst deal I ever made in my life. I'm telling you, I was stunned. I mean, I thought maybe once every... I mean, it was like every little bit I was saying some... You can't... crappy thing. I was... every little bit I was saying something totally opposite of what I wanted to come to pass. Things like I was saying a while ago, oh, my back is killing me. I agree with you and what you say will come to pass. No, no, no. Crop failure on those words, you know. I'll be the first one to catch a flu every time it comes to town. I agree with you in Jesus' name. No. So we went through that season and got pretty good for a while. Really did. Of only speaking those things that we intend to come to pass. But then, if you don't maintain that, you'll backslide from that. And you pretty soon, you just talking stuff. And every time you do it, every time you do, even though I know, you know, okay, I can hear it already. So I can hear it. Somebody's already, they're already, a discussion after church, I hear it now. The word police has shown up again. Well, if that's your attitude, repent. You're probably the very dude that needs to hear it, or dudette that needs to hear this. Because I am telling you, we are not allowed to change the gospel. We only have one visitor. We only have one person. The author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. We only have him to look at. There isn't anybody else to go consult. He's the one that knows how this works. You want to be able to speak to cancer and have it leave? You better believe that when you speak, what you say will come to pass. We have got to stop educating ourselves according to the ways of the world and begin re-educating ourselves according to the ways of the kingdom of God. Now look at it again. You still in Mark 11? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Now we'll get into that another day. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He, that person, that when he speaks, he's reminding me of the Roman centurion now, the one that came that had the servant that was sick at home. See, he was a man under authority. He understood authority. He says, he had 100 men under him. When I say go, they go. When I say come, they come. See, he knew he had authority over 100 soldiers. But he knew Jesus had authority over sickness and death. He says, I understand authority. If you speak the word only, my servant will be healed. Jesus is trying to get us to be those people of authority that understand that what we have right here are the very keys of the kingdom of God. These words are the very keys of the kingdom. And if we become those people, renewed in mind, we can become that people also that when we speak, what we say will come to pass. I'm sorry, and go back to James. I'm sorry, I had to leave James too soon. James chapter 3. Now, this passage, I know that the root of this passage is really talking about false teaching. He's talking about people that use their tongue to draw away disciples unto themselves. And pretty soon they have, how does Dave put it? They have large choirs in the deserts, you know. They draw you away into another religion or something. But the principle here that applies to the tongue. See, he said in chapter 1, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. So he's drawing the image there of like a horse, putting a bridle on a horse's mouth. You don't normally bridle humans. So when he says bridleth his tongue, he's drawing an analogy there of putting a bridle on a horse. Then he expands on that over here in James chapter 3. So he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths. Now in chapter 1, verse 26, you need to learn to bridle your tongue. You want your religion, your walk with God to be fruitful? Learn to bridle your tongue. Here he says, we put bits in the horses' mouths. Why? That they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. So let's go with that image for a minute. Here's this horse that probably weighs a ton. You know, weighs 2,000 pounds maybe. Big horse. And you're a little human. How are you going to get that big old horse to turn the way you want it to go? Well, you put a bit on that horse's tongue. And that horse will just obey you. I mean, it'll go anywhere you want it to go. Your life can be changed. The lives of other people can be changed. Death and life is in the power of the tongue for those people who believe that what they say will come to pass. Right? We can see that from the horse analogy. He goes one bigger than that. Look at this. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great. Now let's stop for a moment. He's not talking about a rowboat here. He's talking about a great ship. In his day, it was probably a big ship with sails. In our day, let's think of something along the lines of the Titanic. A great ship. That's a pretty good sized ship. And it's going along, and boy, it's got momentum, doesn't it? Well, how do you change something that weighs how many megatons, you know? How do you change the direction of that thing? Notice. Though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds. That's not in there for no reason. Maybe the devil's putting all kinds of pressure on your life. Trying to force your direction into a certain way. But even they are turned. With a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, whichever way he wants it to go. You can change. I don't care how much momentum. I don't care how long that ship's been going that way. I don't care how heavy it is. I don't care how fierce the winds are. You are in control if you will change your tongue. There is nothing you can't change. That is why, that's part of why he didn't just birth us so we can have a happy life to heaven. Thank God for that. I mean, I'm thank God forever that I'm not going to hell, because I sure was. Thank God I'm going to heaven, and I like having a happy life and a happy wife. Happy wife, happy life. You know, anyway. But life is more than that. He intends for us to become that people so laser focused that we begin to set the captives free in his name. Well, in order to do that, we have got to be a people that when we speak, we have to know what I say comes to pass. You can start practicing that in every realm of life. Sue knows me. If I tell you I'm going to be there at 11:10, I'm probably going to be there at 11. Because there might be some circumstance along the way. I mean, if I tell you I'm going to be there at a certain time, I will be there and probably early. Because I gave you my word. If I tell you I'm going to pay you on Tuesday, you'll get paid on Tuesday, not Wednesday. If I say I'm going to do, in other words, my dad raised me. He said, boy, you don't have anything more valuable than your word. If your word is no good, you're no good. You and your word are one. Do you know that's it? That's exact. My daddy was teaching me about God and I didn't even know it. See, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's God can't lie. I'll tell you one thing Mark 11:23 does not apply to. Does not apply to liars. Boy, did you hear all those amens right there? It does not apply to liars. If you haven't yet given up lying, forget it. That's what you got to work on, not getting people out of the bed. Boy. Well, it's the truth. You know, Dave, he uses that humor. I thank God for Dave's humor. And in those early days, I mean, if you come and you start listening to any of those messages in 1992, 93, 94, that lady that you hear laughing in the background, snarking, that's Sue. We needed that humor. And it was so wonderful, just washing over us in those days. But I learned fairly quickly that because of that love and that humor, the way Dave would deliver it, he could deliver some powerful things. But it wouldn't dawn on you for about 3 days. Because the service was wonderful and you could just taste God's love. And man, it was great, you know. Then I'm thinking about it over the next 2 or 3 days and I went, hey, he was kind of getting on to us in that service, you know. Well, here's one that, and I'm not looking at anybody. There's nobody back here today, okay. That one where he says, yes, that man praying in tongues thinks he's praying about a new car. But what God's really interested in is that he quit yelling at his wife. And what's sad is that person probably thinks he's ready for a worldwide ministry. And wondering why people aren't giving to him. And wondering why he's struggling. And see, I'm not a novice at this. Yes, sir. I'll say it this way. You know, none of us don't know what we don't know. Boy, that's deep. Is that not deep? What I mean by that is, I can't give you testimonies yet about the strongholds that I'm going to be free from in the future that at this moment I don't know I have. You probably know I have them. But when you're blind, you're blind. I can tell you about the strongholds I had that I know I don't have them anymore. You understand what I'm saying? I remember that time myself. I got so mad at Sue. And the issue is it doesn't matter. The attitude, you know, it could be over anything. Man, all I know is my machismo. Is that a good word? My masculinity. I didn't like whatever it was that was going on. I got in the car. Boy, I backed out of the driveway and I put it in drive and I just made it, the tires chirp a little bit as I left. And I'm taking off, just show my displeasure. And I'm hot. I didn't even get a block. And I heard God tell me in this voice, this was the tone of voice I heard. He said, "You be careful how you talk to my daughter." Hit the brakes, the car goes, ee. Sheepishly, I turned the car around, pull back up in the driveway. And I literally said this, because it was the truth. I walked in, I says, "I don't know how I'm wrong. I just know that I am wrong." Thank God we never had a whole lot of those type of fights in the first place. Okay, we never did have a whole lot of them. But that purging has been going on to this day. Now, I don't know what I don't know. I can't tell you yet about, I don't know what strongholds are still ahead of me. Maybe some of them I do. They're none of your business. But probably the worst ones I don't. Probably, okay? But I'll tell you this, the ones that he's revealing to me right now, and I'm telling you right now, I'm the first to repent. I'm up here. I'm the first to repent. I have backslid when it comes to the things that I say. I have let myself fall back into the habit, just talking like the world. "Well, that's killing me. I'm dying to see you." Just all that kind of stuff. Well, I repent. Do you? Let's do it right now. Say, "Father, I repent. Help me, Father. Set a watch on my lips that I do not sin against you. Help me become that person that when I speak, what I say comes to pass. In Jesus' name." Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, become laser focused. That's our homework assignment. Now, let's become laser focused on that. That's one thing we can do. It's not a condemnation thing. It is a training thing. We are coming to that place. We're going to walk up to cancers and speak to them. Cancers are going to just fall off on the floor. Tumors are going to disappear. Cerebral palsy children are going to step up out of their wheelchairs and be as normal as anybody else. Blind are going to see. Deaf are going to hear. Because he has given us that authority. Now we have to believe him that what he said is true. Take him at his word and begin training ourselves like we're in boot camp almost. Like we're in boot camp. What I say comes to pass. Say it with me. What I say comes to pass. Everything I say happens just the way I say it. I have authority in Jesus' name. When I speak in his name, it releases the power of the Holy Ghost. What I say comes to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it.